Pot of Thunder. Some people love it.
Good.
Oh yeah. Welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by Curiosities. Smells good in here. Chris, what is that?
We're back to Andy's favorite, Save Me San Francisco.
Ah.
The cannabis coffee combo.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
Yeah.
The cap here? Curiosity's cap.
Oh, let me get well, you. So again,
you don't have to. The cap? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know anything about candles. But can you put the candle on here like a little candle coaster? Or would that serve a purpose?
I say yes, you can.
Are they made
Why don't you
to do
give,
that?
Give it a try? If something catches on fire, we'll deal with that. But
that's a nice little coaster.
It's a good idea. Never thought of that.
It's a little candle coaster.
Well, if you want 20% off, not 10, not 15, 20% off, enter the promo code POTHEAD. And you'll get that on curiosities.com. Let's all smell better together.
Yeah.
And we'll start with our homes.
Or else we'll stink separately.
Exactly.
I think Benjamin Franklin said that.
Yeah.
In a French brothel. Also brought to you by patreon.com/podofthunder. If you want to be like Joe Patterson and open the show.
That was a good one, Joe.
Yeah, good, Joe. Thank you very much. Go to patreon.com/podofthunder. There is a tier for everybody with many benefits at every level, including at all levels you can intro the show, download music from our bands of yesteryear, clips from the show, all the music clips that Nick and Chris have come up with over the years, all that stuff. And, you know, I've said this over the years, last couple years since we've been doing this, if there's something you want, let us know, right? Maybe we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I got a request.
Oh, no.
So it came to me. It says 718TL Patreon request. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to play it. It's a clip.
Oh, so, gosh.
Hey, this is what the people want. Let's find out together.
Andy Jones, show us your prick tonight.
Wait a minute.
During the live stream of the show.
Okay, we're not doing that. Anyway,
you know, if I were his neighbor, I'd complain too.
We're not doing that.
That kind of filth.
Yeah, just because you make a request doesn't mean we're going to honor it, and we're definitely not honoring that one.
We're happy to hear what you want, but we're not going to, yeah, like Chris said, we're not honoring everything. But anyway, it's your buddy Andy, America's little brother.
Yeah, we're on Patreon, not OnlyFans.
That's right. We can't do that here.
Yeah.
Well, he said on the live stream, so he just means pull it out right here. We'll get kicked off of YouTube, too.
That's not happening. Nobody wants to see that.
We'll be done with Google. We'll be in big trouble.
Yeah.
That's no good. Anyway, Nick, get up.
What now?
Get up. That was my intro. Get up. Get up, Nick. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is going to dance for you. Oh, he's ready to do it. I don't know what he's got planned.
You're going to do it.
He had a lot.
You're going to do it.
I don't know what his big plans are for you, but he's about to show you. Ladies and gentlemen. Ooh.
Christ.
Pollock has entered the program. Nick, welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
A joy to have you here, as always.
Wow.
What a delight.
Okay.
What did you do?
What happened?
You all right?
No, being told it's a joy to have me here.
He choked me, and I still told him that he's
And now I'm choked up.
There you go. Glad to have you here, as always.
Choking. Some people love it.
Hey, maybe that's what people want to see. More violence. I don't know.
This is, we are the premier Blood and Guts podcast.
Why not? Gotta be something. And to Nick's immediate left, you want him, we got him.
I can have it every day, yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast, medium Chris Ellis here.
My goodness, with extra fervor.
That was a lot.
The TV show that some of those sound effects in my theme song come from was on again this week. Nobody has guessed that yet.
Oh, that's right. That was an open challenge at some point to guess what that was.
Still an open challenge because nobody's guessed it.
Nobody will ever.
Might have to sweeten the pot a little bit.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, what's the prize?
There is no prize yet, but I might have to establish one to motivate $10. People.
I think the prize should be at least vaguely connected to the television show. Very vaguely, perhaps.
All right, yeah.
The only problem is it'd have to be pretty vague or else you're giving it away.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's... Yeah, we'll give that some thought, but we'll put something on the table. But
something to think about.
Yes.
Here we are in the month of May, and I see foil.
Oh, yeah.
Should I eat it? The pool opens Memorial Day weekend. Should I eat it?
Ah! Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me? Oh, oh,
oh. Well, thank you. Don't eat the foil.
That might be better for
unless
me.
We turn the lights off and see if that happens.
What, I start glowing or something?
I don't know.
Sparks?
Sparks or so.
That's supposed to happen?
Probably not true.
But if you chew foil?
I don't know. Don't do it.
No.
Is that if you have fillings?
Maybe it has to be with fillings.
This just looks like some kind of chocolate chip cookie, but I'm not sure.
Well, what we have here is chocolate chip cookie brittle. I was going to say bark, but it's more of a brittle. Now, you just basically make one big layer out of it and then break it up. Gave you guys some from the middle, which is nice and a little bit softer, and then some from the sides, which is more like the crunchy brittle. So, because I think, did I bring in the brownie brittle at one point?
That sounds familiar.
I think so. Yeah. So it's, yeah, variation. And it's essentially, from what I could tell, just a cookie dough recipe without the eggs.
Okay.
So no protein.
Without the eggs.
Without the eggs.
And that contributes to the brittleness? Is that what happens?
Apparently. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't have guessed that omitting the eggs would be the recipe there. But
I haven't taken a bite yet, but it's not very cracky, Nick. Just kind of comes apart like a cookie. I'm not mad about
that. That might be the soft part, or no? Is that the?
That must be the soft part. Okay.
I put one softer piece and one a little bit harder piece.
Okay. Well, it smells delightful.
I forgot what that was, but I gave you guys something real crunchy time, and yeah.
Well, I look forward to eating it.
And it caused a sensation.
Yes. One sensation after another. Nick, thank you for
And
the
I've got
treat.
One plan for next week that I'm excited about particularly.
Plan for next
Already.
Week? You don't plan ahead, do you?
This week I am planning ahead. I'm excited to see if this one turns out.
Okay.
It's a bit ambitious.
Oh, I didn't know you planned like that. Okay. Well, we're looking forward
ambitious
to it.
Ambitious with respect to the fact that I've never heard of it.
Well, you know, next week is going to be the Memorial Day episode. Does it have something to do with that?
I guess it's something. Yeah, I guess so. It's something summery.
Okay.
Even though we're not quite there yet.
But you know how that is. The unofficial beginning of summer is Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Even though it's another 3 weeks before summer kicks in on the calendar.
Yeah. So hope you guys like it.
Delightful. Thank you, Nick. And what do we got going on? It's my pick from the listener submission list.
Mm-hmm.
So let's find out what that's going to be. We've got 1,955 songs on the list.
Wow.
All Patreon levels can add to the list, anything you want. And it has an equal chance if you add it today or if you added it 3 years ago of being chosen. We're going to spin the wheel here, Nick. Are you ready to help us out over there? You got your lever?
Got it.
Give it to us. All right, our first pull is 976. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
I'm just laughing.
I'm just going by your reaction.
Okay. I'm gonna hopper this one. We've done something by this band before.
Recently?
I think it's been a couple years. My calendar is very hazy. Sure. I think it's been a while, but it'd be fun. But we're gonna pump the brakes on it for now. So Nick, another. 525. I see it. No, I don't want to install your spyware. 525. Oh boy. Okay.
525.
Interesting, but I don't know.
525. It's funny because that's the date that Memorial Day is on. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yes, I am correct.
Is that right? Okay.
Not that that means anything, but.
Well, I think we're going to hopper both of them. Is that even possible? This could be a first. Because I'm undecided.
Andy's going to edit a medley for everybody.
Yeah. All right, one more, Nick.
One more.
Third and final. Further down the list, 1,376. Oh boy.
I'm liking all the reactions so far.
Yeah, this is one I don't know. I know the band, but I knew the other two songs. I don't know this band. Or I'm sorry, I don't know this song, I know the band.
Well, that sometimes works out. Sometimes doesn't.
I'm not gonna do it, but I'm gonna quickly go back and review the comments on the other two just to see. Trusted submitter, good. Okay. This is back to the first one.
First one is a trusted submitter.
Okay. There's mention of Chris commenting on this song in the past. Interesting. Okay. And then the other one, 525. Let's look at this comment. I think we have to pick the first one.
Okay.
Kind of unfortunately. You'll see what I mean. Second one will be interesting, but I think we're going to have more fun with the first one. So we're going to do the first one.
Okay.
What was the number on it?
976.
Okay.
Yep. 976 is the winner. Submitted by Tannis O'Connell. I won't tell you what it is quite yet, but...
Tannis, we've picked a couple of songs in the past that he has submitted.
Trustworthy submitter.
Trustworthy.
All right, what do you think, Chris? Feeling anything?
Yep, good old AI has come up with something, so hit it! Time for old stuff. Yeah, that old stuff. Here's some old stuff. Time for old stuff. Nick, who was the Pope in 976?
Okay. I'm going to go with one of the Popes, Clement.
Incorrect.
Well, what else is new?
That's tough. Have you ever gotten one?
Never.
I mean, that's tough.
It's tough enough.
So many Popes, so many years. I mean, it's nearly impossible for you to guess it, but... it could happen one day.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, AI sounding a little unsure here, opening with, based on available historical records.
Here comes a yarn. It's
going to 976, Pope Benedict VII was in power, and his papacy was largely focused on strengthening church reforms in partnership with the Holy Roman Emperor Otto II. He actively supported the suppression of simony and encouraged monastic reform efforts during this period.
I don't know.
What the fuck is simony?
I think I've heard of that. Is that a financial thing?
I have no idea.
It's selling church offices and rolls.
That's simony?
Yes, or simony, I think it's pronounced. I could be wrong. Named after Simon Magus, or Simon the Magician, who was... brought up in the Acts of the Apostles.
How about that?
Simon the Magician. Wasn't that Mike Haddad's stage name at one point?
Yes.
I'm surprised Iron Maiden doesn't. Or no, actually.
That guy's name was Simon, wasn't it?
Who?
Oh, that one. Yeah, that Simon Drake.
Simon Drake. There was this Iron Maiden pay-per-view. And they put it out on DVD many years later called Raising Hell.
Yeah.
I think it was Bruce Dickinson's last show, right?
Might have been.
Because they... And they... It was,
they killed him.
Yeah, they killed him.
Spoiler.
It was his last show before he left in the... What was that? Early 90s?
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. And it was like performances in tandem with a magician going back and forth. This like heavy metal magician
I think it deserves more love than it
yeah,
gets.
Yeah, people kind of crapped on it because it was a little hokey, right? But it was fun.
It's magic.
Yeah.
It's a magic show. It's illusions.
And it was very dated. It was very of the time.
I think, though, I think what I was thinking of is, I don't know if it's about Simon the Magician, but Dickinson's solo album, Accident of Birth, has a song called The Magician.
Mm.
And I don't know if that's what it's about or not.
Got that on the list?
I don't know. Probably not.
Some good stuff on there.
Because I don't think I've seen any Bruce Dickinson solo cuts on there. Have I? Oh, wait. Well,
there's one.
There's one. Okay.
There's more Bruce Kulick than Bruce Dickinson. That's a problem. what are we doing out there? Hey, it's your
there
list.
There should be more Bruce on there than Bruce Dickinson.
All right. So, we got this one here. Yep. Okay.
All right.
Everyone is loving Pope stuff. I just looked at the chat.
How much are they loving it?
It's their favorite.
Scale of one to Pope stuff. How much are you guys loving it?
Very much Pope stuff.
All right.
Yep. Okay. So, where are we at here? I just want to make sure I got the album. Okay, I'm ready. Let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho!
All right, Harold! This one's called...
Take Me to the Top.
Off of...
Get Lucky.
By the band...
Loverboy.
All right. Never have too much Loverboy.
Yeah,
good
boy.
Choice.
Had to do it.
I didn't see the other... two, but there's nothing wrong with, can't go wrong with this one.
Mm-mm.
Oh boy.
So, Get Lucky, 1981.
We all know where this episode is headed, but I digress.
I'm going to try my best.
Temporarily.
Try my best to be a gentleman. So this is a Sony release, 1981, October 7th, 1981.
Well, it was, I think the original, I want to say the original label was Columbia.
Oh, is it a re-released on Sony? Okay.
Yeah, who knows? The purchasing of labels, companies merging, all this other bullshit going on.
Okay.
But I want to say it was Columbia. It was their original label.
Okay.
All right, so who's on the album cover?
Someone with a very hairy wrist. That's all I know. I assume it's Reno, right? I don't know.
A Greek man? I'm not
okay,
sure.
Hold on a second. Yeah. All right. this is...
What?
Can this be correct?
Uh-oh.
This is according to Wikipedia. Take it what you will. The cover of the album depicts the posterior of someone wearing tight red leather pants with a man's arm.
Thanks for pointing that out. We couldn't tell by looking at it. We needed that explained to us by Wikipedia.
And hand in the foreground with index and middle finger crossed. The model wearing the leather pants was 13-year-old Tamara Kennedy, daughter of photographer David Michael Kennedy, who shot the cover.
Okay, it's possible, but then whose hand is that?
It says it's a... Well, that's true. It doesn't say... doesn't say that... The use of red leather pants originated from Reno selecting a few items from a leather shop.
They couldn't use him because he split his immediately.
Well, nowadays, all right. Yes.
Well, absolutely. There it is.
Back then, not so much, but yes, he's not selecting any items for a leather shop nowadays.
Oh, boy.
Right out of the gate. I love it.
Get it out of the way.
It happened. We all knew it was going to happen.
At some point, it was coming. It's kind of bizarre. I wonder...
It was a different time.
Yeah.
Back in those days where... This
of course, this
perversion
is,
of young girls just was like nobody batted an eye at it.
But everybody, I think, I don't know about everybody, but people probably thought that's a guy. Like, the person in the pants and the arm, it must be the same person.
I've always thought that.
Yeah.
I would assume so, too.
And it says, the photo credit on the album stated, bottom by TK. So I guess it was Tom.
Tom Codel. That makes sense.
So
you said it was someone Kennedy? David Kennedy or something?
That's the photographer.
So his daughter's first initial would be T.
Tamara.
So I wonder if... No, that wouldn't make sense. I would say it would be his arm, but it's not. I don't know. They had to have someone else in there. Yeah. I really want to know more about this hairy arm because it's bizarre.
Here, let's see.
It's only hairy on the side.
Is it just
the lighting? Or?
It's Mediterranean, in a way.
Is it shaved that way?
It's weird.
And, you know, even weirder is the fact that this photographer allowed this hairy arm to be laid on the ass of his 13-year-old daughter.
Right.
So
what kind of depravity is happening on the set? Album cover shoot.
According to Kennedy, his stylist found only one pair of red leather pants while shopping in New York City before the photo shoot in 81. They fit none of the band members nor models on the set. At home later that day, his daughter returned from school, saw the pants, asked to try them on. They fit her, and he decided to use her as the model. It is unknown whose hand and arm are in the picture. According to a 2015 article, the Toronto Star newspaper, quote, Argentinian male model, 6'5", was hired on the basis of his big hands.
Okay.
What is going on here?
Now it's a complete lie. They just say
Argentinian.
Too many details. Listing his height, you're lying.
And you don't know the name. Yeah, you know everything else about the guy.
Yeah. The talking too much indicates a lie. So.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway.
All right. Enough about the cover. I was always kind of curious, though. I just assumed it was Mike Reno, but then I never looked at the hand so close and saw that doesn't really match his skin tone and his, I don't know, I don't think he's got black hair on his body.
He's not 6'5", Argentinian either. How do you know
I don't know, because his hair color is not black, like that's like...
Yeah, but he could have had an artificial hair color on top. There was hair dye being done in the 80s.
Yeah, that's true. Just didn't look like him, so we'll see. We'll find out who this Argentinian model is. Maybe he'll reveal himself to us.
He's probably a listener.
All right. Yeah.
So where does this song lie?
Towards the end.
Is it really? It's buried back there?
It might be the last cut, right?
Yes, yeah,
it's the last track on the album before the bonus tracks on the re-release. Yeah.
So first one is Working for the Weekend. Last one is Take Me to the Top.
Interesting. And this was the third single, according to Wikipedia, from the album.
This was a single? This is a long song,
Third single of five singles.
Tell me the singles in order, if you
singles
can.
Singles in order. Working for the Weekend, When It's Over, Take Me to the Top, Lucky Ones, and Jump.
Mm. I mean, it makes sense. This is a five-star album. Every song is great. Mm. So it makes sense that there were so many singles. This surprises me that it was the third single, and it actually surprises me that it was even a single at all, because, again, it's, what is it, 6 minutes and change?
6:13, according to Wikipedia.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they released a shortened version, but that would kill the vibe, in my opinion. But And what do you, somebody mentioned me in the comment when they... Tanis mentioned me in the comment that he submitted.
Yeah, let me see what he said. Chris declaring this song as on par with Loving Every Minute of It clinched it for me. Also my favorite Loverboy tune. I had to submit it to the list.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely a true statement. Might even be a little bit better than Loving Every Minute of It.
Uh-oh, careful.
Not sure that's possible.
I don't want to see a brawl on that couch.
We'll find out. But easily on par with it, no question about it.
Okay. All right. So,
judging by the title, are either of you guys confident you've heard this before? Or?
I know I had this album at some point. I don't remember how the song goes, but I bet as soon as we press play, I'll remember.
Yeah, I mean, same here with, it'll probably ring a bell, but if you ask me how it goes right now, I honestly can't.
It's pretty recognizable right off the bat. It's got a trademark intro sound that, if you're familiar with the song, yeah, it's instantly recognizable. Not unlike the cowbell that opens Working for the Weekend. Hmm. Not that it's a percussion, it's not a percussion opening, but an equally iconic opening.
All right. Well, I'm ready to get into it. You guys ready?
Sure.
All right, let's
take. I think this should be the beginning of a Loverboy podcast. I'd be down with that. people have debated whether we should go back to doing a band only and just doing their whole catalog, and I'm like, the question is what would be as interesting as Kiss? What would be something that we would all be engaged on? And I think Loverboy would be a good candidate for that. This is the third Loverboy song?
I think so, yeah.
Is it three?
Turn Me Loose and Lovin' Every Minute of It.
Yeah, we did Lovin' Every... Okay. Yeah, I forgot about that. I remember Turn Me Loose.
Well, and not to get too far into it, but there are rumors of us having to return to our old format, potentially.
Oh, with the new...
With Kiss allegedly recording things in the studio.
Well, fortunately, it's not things plural. Thing. Apparently, it's one song that they've done. They've finally gotten with the modern program and realized you don't have to put out a whole album. Yeah. Put the shit out a la carte. Well, ideally, don't put anything out at all because you're done, but that's not... Well, doesn't seem to be how they're approaching it, and... If they do put out another song, we kind of have to do it.
Yeah,
any of us is excited about it, but we will do it.
Yeah. Imagine, it'd be the first song, if it came out this year, which it probably won't, but it'd be the first song in like 14 years. Imagine if you released one song every 14 years. They'd have...
Hey, if I do another song ever, that would be about right. No, I'm just saying
they wouldn't have four songs out yet.
No, yeah, over the course of their whole career.
That's what I'm saying.
They have an EP together. Finally.
Oh, well. Well, there is the threat of that looming over our heads right now.
Yeah.
Might have to be a Kiss podcast again temporarily
for 1 week. Well, we'll see. We'll get there when we get there. We'll see what happens, whatever the reason, if that's for the avatars or
some people have said this, and I agree, it would be fun to bust out the original theme song, all the old sound clips.
Sure.
So, yeah, we'll make it... first of all, we have to make it fun for ourselves, otherwise we're going to suffer through a terrible episode, but in doing so, I think everybody will be entertained.
Well, I think we made the promise that we have to do it if Kiss releases new music.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it has to become the first order of business.
Yes. And I'm fine with sticking with that. I wish we didn't have to, but we will.
Maybe it'll be good.
Maybe what are the chances of it being good?
Where's
the camera?
Where is it?
Oh, yeah. There
you have
goes.
Many options.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back with Take Me to the Top.
So just made me laugh because last week for the joke segment I had a clip from a movie that didn't make the cut, but I had it edited on there, and I had to choose between either doing the Harry Potter dark/dork lord quote or the hockey scene in the brewery from Strange Brew.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what this sounds
reminding
like.
Reminding you of that?
Oh, yeah. That sawtooth synthesizer sound? Absolutely.
Yeah, I never made that connection. Yeah, that's a great observation. Spot on. It's a Canadian connection.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Mm.
The drums came in oddly.
Yeah.
There was some sort of subtle ghost note-y snare roll.
Rolling, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't... It kind of started and then died. And then the drums kicked in. Very, very weird. It's a weird song so far.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, it makes you wonder why they chose it as a single. Because there's some other stuff on here. You know, like Watch Out would probably have been a better single. I mean, again, every song in this album is great. So could have picked every one. This is, like, to me, the perfect album closer, and it's not really a single. I mean, it's a great song, but it's not really a single. And the length of it, you know, if you got to cut out half of the song, it just doesn't seem worth the effort when there's, you know, other candidates on here. But what do I know? They're Lover Boy, I Was Me.
Yeah,
I am still me, unsuccessful. What are you gonna do?
They are still Lover Boy, yes, too.
Still at it. What are these things he has to do? Has always been my question. Why is he bringing them up? What is he like?
He's got errands.
Initially, he's expressing how badly he wants this woman. Then he's implying that he's too busy to do anything about it. Very strange. Calling her name, and then he realizes, yeah, I've got to run to the hardware store. Can't talk to you right now.
That sounds...
What's he talking about? The things I have to do.
Say, is this autobiographical, where he's actually thinking in his life at the time? Or is this more...
I don't know.
Because, you know, maybe I have to leave. Is this going to work if I leave town?
One of those Nick's favorite lyrical trope of the guy who just breezes into town, bangs the woman, and it's like, yeah, I gotta be on my way tomorrow morning. It was nice.
Yeah, it's
think of me when I'm gone, but I'm gonna leave.
Yeah,
you know, because that's who I am.
Mm-hmm. Like I'm leaving.
Yeah,
why? I don't know.
So you know,
gotta go.
You should definitely sleep with me because that's an attractive feature in a man. It's a guy who's gonna be gone the next day. So. Let's do it. So, yeah. I don't know if that trope is at work.
I could see if you were like a praying mantis, that might be the go-to strategy to leave town immediately.
Oh, is that...
before you're eaten.
Doesn't say, is that one of the bugs that...
Yeah, so that philosophy could work for some creatures.
Well, you wouldn't want to tell her because she would want to eat you, right? It would work for you, but
that's
true. If you tell her, she's not interested.
That's true. The praying mantis isn't going to... The third line of the song isn't going to be sung by the praying mantis.
She's walking away, yeah.
She's walking away.
Yep. Now, if you're the praying mantis, you say, I got to go to the bathroom, then you walk straight out the door.
Yeah. You can eat me as soon as I'm done in the bathroom.
Yeah, there's no indication that you're going to hightail it out
then
of there.
Then you hop out the window.
Yeah, let me get this out of my body. You don't want this in your mouth. She'll let you go. I had Buffalo Wild Wings before we got together.
I'll be back. I should have told you before.
The garlic parm, no less, seeping out of my pores at this point.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You like the wah-wah guitar there?
Got a little funky.
Paul Dean, man, I'm telling you, underrated guitarist. Actually, coming back from we were out and about last weekend, and on the drive home, "Turn Me Loose" came up on shuffle. Mm-hmm. Some heavy sounding guitar on that. I know, I'm sure we talked about it at length during the episode, but yeah, Paul Dean's involvement made it perfectly acceptable for serious rockers to be into Loverboy,
yeah,
and not to apologize for it.
Yeah, it's been kind of sparse but effective, his contribution thus far.
But yeah, this song sets a mood. There's, you know, it's atmospheric, if you will, with the keys and the you know, there's a lot of space in the music, and it's kind of toned down a little bit. It's one of the things I like about it. It's different from all the other tracks on the album, and like I said, it sets that mood that that you don't really get elsewhere on the album. But it's a great, perfect album closer, mm-hmm, for that reason. But yeah, Andy enjoying the funky wah-wah guitar. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was perfectly placed in that space between lines.
Funky yet heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was like a distorted funky.
Yeah.
It was cool.
That was interesting, because that play played like it was a lead, but it was sort of it was basically a rhythm.
Yeah. You
know? But that section of a song, you would expect, like, okay, there's going to be a guitar solo, some sort of lead.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of a lead, but not really. But it was really cool. It was just him playing some funky chord progression there.
I don't think you need any sort of single line guitar.
It's, I'd say, there. Better than if it was, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
just throwing in little licks,
yeah,
that aren't really necessary. I mean, that was totally the right call.
Yeah, I would think so.
Whether it was him or the band or the producer, or they all kind of collaborated on that, it was the right call.
And also, there's no, as far as I could tell, there's no guitar on another track of chords on the top of it.
No,
so I don't think so.
So it's got some space to
yes,
it.
Yeah, it's key to the mood of this song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the keyboard and the bass, the interaction there is pretty cool too.
Yeah, contributes to the pondering of what these things he has to do are. Just, you know, gives you you're not overwhelmed with sound, so you can think about these things that he has to do and what they could possibly be.
Yeah, he's got stuff to do. Looking at this, I wasn't paying attention to after we came back from the first time we talked about the lyrics, but what's a poor boy to do?
he's gotta
make a decision here. He's got things.
Yeah,
he's gotta I don't know, tighten that hinge on the door or something. Right. I don't know.
Maybe his toilet was rotting in the middle of the night, like we talked about a few episodes
ago. That's there's
he's like, man, I really want to bang this woman, but that fucking toilet is running. I gotta fix that.
I bet it's running right now.
Yeah,
he couldn't get his mind off of it.
Like, and there is the 24-hour hardware store just down the street. So
it's like he's focusing on how hot this chick is, but in the back of his mind, he's hearing the toilet running.
You cannot rest when the toilet...
You can't rest.
When the toilet runs spontaneously, you can't rest.
No, you have to fix that immediately.
Unprovoked toilet running.
Toilets and teeth. If they're jacked up, you got to fix that shit sooner rather than later. Yeah.
If there's a crack in either of them...
There's no putting it off. Fix it immediately.
There's a crack in it, you gotta get it pulled.
Yes.
Teeth and toilets.
Hot woman notwithstanding, you know, you gotta prioritize stuff. So that's seems to be what he's wrestling with here. His libido versus his adult responsibilities. Which is, think about it, that's the battle we face almost on a daily basis, as grown men.
Yes, true. All right, let's continue. Look at you, I feel what do you think she's doing? Crazy little things.
I don't know. Offering to fix it for him? I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. You tonight. Oh, what's the problem for you do? What he's gonna love with you?
Now that guitar part, he goes into a single line.
Mm-hmm.
It's a single line rhythm part that's not the wah, funky wah stuff, but you know, that wasn't going on. It could have been going on the first time they passed it through, but it's a little more noticeable now. But it's cool how he transitions from one to the other.
Yeah. And Reno sounds great.
The guy could sing.
Absolutely.
Powerful voice on pitch.
He's never on any lists of like the greatest rock singers, but I've never heard anybody bash him either.
Well, he did that one duet with Ann Wilson of Heart. I can't think of the title of that song, a power ballad, but
I don't know if I know that one, but
I think it was on Loving Every Minute of
if
It.
If you're going one-on-one with Ann Wilson, then you're going to have to bring it.
Exactly. Sure. Otherwise, you're just going to get completely bulldozed, and I haven't heard that song in years, but as far as I could recall, he definitely held his own against one of the greatest singers of all time.
Yeah, I mean, he always sounds great to me, but it's interesting because he's not known as one or the other, really. Like, I never hear anybody talk about him either being a great singer or a bad singer. People are usually quick to point out one or the other.
You never hear anybody say anything about Mike Reno? It's just
not really.
Yeah, you know, like if you're talking about great singers, he doesn't come up.
Not particularly, but I think he is one.
I do too. I think if you're talking about it, someone said he wasn't, I would think they're crazy. But I know what you mean. If you're just saying, "Hey, who are the great rock singers?"
Yeah,
he doesn't come up.
No, he doesn't. But yeah, but he. I mean,
Almost Paradise was the song.
Oh,
from,
sure.
Footloose.
So sure. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I know that one.
That wasn't on Loving Every Minute.
That one gets pretty high up there.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Loverboy in general doesn't get the respect. You know, Paul Dean, never talked about in guitar nerd circles, but great tone, great playing. As Andy observed earlier, the bass playing on point. Iconic keyboard sounds almost in a Cars quality.
Styx-ish too.
But in general, I think, you know, maybe it's the band name, maybe it's the cheesy album cover of a hairy arm laying against what we now know is a 13-year-old girl's ass. You know, and Working for the Weekend, great song.
Yeah.
Almost everybody loves it, but it's, you know, it's a lot of people consider them to be a one-hit wonder, which is... Nothing could be further from the truth.
And I would say the name Loverboy is a pretty good band name. Pretty great,
absolutely.
Actually.
But for whatever reason, in terms of the actual musical ability, musicianship, you never hear anybody talking about any of them ever. But again, it is evidenced on this song, just about any other Loverboy song. Going toe-to-toe with Ann Wilson, I mean, you got to be a top shelf to do that.
Yeah.
Take me to the top. Yes, you take me. Take me to the. Take me to.
It's so interesting how it built up and then it kind of pulled back now.
Yeah.
Instrument wise, like the guitar kind of just, I thought we were going to get like, the guitar is going to hang in there and kind of, you know, be palm muting along with it or something, but it just kind of backed off. Interesting.
Great arrangement.
Yeah.
For a long song, that's what you want. You want those peaks and valleys and keep you interested.
Yeah.
Tony Griggs just said, I didn't like that chorus for some reason. I'm kind of with you, Tony.
You know what? At the end of it.
I love that chorus.
You like that?
Yeah.
I will say.
My favorite part of the song.
I liked it a lot. The last, when he held the note and kind of trailed off with the word top at the end, I thought it was a little bit strange, like the note choices.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I had no issue with the chorus.
You know, I should say.
I think it's very appropriate, actually, considering the music that was going on.
I shouldn't say I don't like it, but I thought, oh, that's different, which maybe that's good. It just might have caught me by surprise. I don't think I know this song. I don't think I've ever heard it before, even though I said I thought I would have. But interesting that, you know, it's like a song that's kind of flowing, and then the chorus is like this syncopated thing with not right. a lot of music,
right.
which is interesting.
It's a different vibe. Yeah. It's a little more of like, it's less like ethereal and a little more, you know, direct, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
I love the chorus. It's my favorite part of the song.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's the thing I was, you know, observing as I was listening to it is just this, the pure simplicity of the lyrics just says the title of the song over and over, except for the "you take me," and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
Simple is always better in a pop song.
Say something crazy here, but dare I say, this is 1981. This is a little bit of like a proto Chili Peppers guitar style in this song.
Interesting. Yeah. I totally hear that.
Be a couple years before. And
yeah.
What he's doing and what he's not doing kind of fit the vibe of what Chili Peppers guitar playing is.
I mean, it would just be more, well, Chili Peppers had stuff that was this tempo as well. I would almost think it would be more up-tempo, but yeah, what he's doing and the tone and everything and the style of playing, mm-hmm. absolutely, yeah.
Maybe not everything else, you know, not the vocals for sure, it's not the same thing.
No, but if you had, if the Chili Peppers had something at this tempo, this would be what the guitar would likely be doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Never made that connection.
Yeah, that's either. a cool thought, though. Cool comparison.
Paul Dean inspired the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't want to hear Hendrix anymore.
Yeah.
That was just like the more street cred answer.
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to admit that Paul Dean was a huge, the major inspiration for both Slovak and Frusciante.
Yep. This is it.
Makes sense.
For all we know, Dave Navarro is a fan too.
That's probably accurate.
I'll bet if you asked any of those guys, well, you can't ask Slovak anything anymore, but if you ask those guys just purely objectively, just straight guitar playing, put aside the image of the band or whatever your preconceptions of the band are, just from a playing tone standpoint, you got to give the guy his props, man.
Yeah.
Rock solid, at the very least. If not, you know, just super outstanding rock guitar player. I mean, you know, one of those guys, again, make a Cars comparison, but like, certainly not. I mean, Elliot Easton is probably the cream of the crop for this type of guitar player, but always playing the perfect part for every song. And they're always a little bit different, but you know, in that vein of being like that pop guitarist who plays the perfect thing for whatever song he's playing.
I mean, really, that should be, unless it's a different type of music where that's not as important, where it's more just about the dexterity and stuff like that, but that should be the goal of any musician, professional musician, is I'm doing the best possible part for the song. Well,
but we know that that's not how all quote-unquote musicians approach it.
Sure, sure, but if it's something that's supposed to be accessible to the masses, that should be really the goal, to set a mood and to play what's perfect for the song.
Yeah, but, you know, but even if you set out to do that, not everybody is good enough to do that. And sometimes you can be steered in that direction by a good producer, but just not everybody has that talent. And it also takes a lot of restraint, you know, if you're like a quote-unquote virtuoso, to dial it back and play what's appropriate for the song. I've said this many times in the show, but Vivian Campbell joining Def Leppard and just completely ratcheting back his guitar style to blend in with that band, which is one of the top pop bands of all time, but a heavy guitar driven pop band, says as much, if not more, about his ability than him shredding the Rainbow in the Dark solo.
Yeah, you know?
True. All right, let's continue. Help me make it through the night. Everything's gonna be all right. You take me to the top. Take me to the top. Take me to the top. Yes, you take me. Take me to the. Take me to the. Take me to the top.
A little more of that Chili Peppers guitar style in the background.
Big time. Yep. That's a great comparison.
It is, and that is quite an observation.
So the instrumentation, the arrangement, everything like that, it got me thinking. 1981, this came out. It sounds to me like a song that would have been in a film, especially with as much time that we've got here where there's no vocal. I'm looking now, the top grossing movies in 81, I don't think it fits with any of them. Raiders of the Lost Ark, On Golden Pond, Stripes. It doesn't seem to work.
Well, but since Andy brought it up, like a proto type thing, this is like this kind of song you would hear in like a mid-80s coming of age movie.
Well, there's
or like a Brat Pack movie that, or something like that.
But I'm looking at cult classics from 81, and there are a couple I think that fit. One in particular, you've got Mad Max 2, you've got Time Bandits, Scanners, Evil Dead, but I think the one that it would be appropriate with is Escape from New York. I could see this being something used as a score, perhaps, in that movie.
Fielding Fowler says could go Vice Squad, 1982. I've never seen Vice Squad.
I never saw Vice Squad either.
Maybe that's one. I don't know. All right, let's finish this solo up, huh?
We pretty much did.
Oh, this is just transitioning into the next part here.
Yep.
Just let me lay my hands on you. That
Now here's back to the things that he, this isn't a thing he has to do. This is the thing he wants to do. I don't want to fix my toilet. I'd rather lay my hands on you, which it makes sense.
Now, those two lines were said as though cheerleaders were saying them.
Like the way
the cadence was absolutely, it would be a cheer.
Interesting.
That was just let me lay my hands on you.
That's the thing I want to do. You know, it's like a cheer squad would be doing that. I mean,
which would be proto be aggressive from Faith No More. Wow. We have more influential things that we never bargained for in this one.
Yeah. All right, keep it going.
Little bass harmonic.
You did that before every chorus.
Yeah, it's the third one, right?
That's the one that really stuck out to me. Pre-Billy Sheehan? Well, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
Another influence.
Maybe.
Yeah. Wow.
Bass player who ended up in Davy Jones's locker, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
We talked about before on a previous Loverboy episode.
I guess I forgot about that.
Yeah, he died in a boating accident, I think.
Awful.
Yeah. All the other guys are still, it's the same four guys still in the band to this day.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think so. But, it's coming into the big finish here, which some of these people on the chat are welcoming. I find that extremely disappointing, but whatever. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Even when it's wrong.
Perfect
album closer.
Yeah.
I was going to say, especially for the end of an album, that's a nice way to go out.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's you want to, a lot of times, you want to end an album with something that has an intense mood to it. And that's absolutely what they did here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we did it. Now it's time to vote Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch. I will go first, as I chose this from the listener submission list as submitted by Tannis O'Connell. And I'm giving it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender! Hell yes!
I really wonder if I've ever heard it before. I probably did, because I think I had a little lover boy phase when I worked at the cafe.
Good.
And I would occasionally
wonder if that was subconsciously influenced by me.
It could have been. And I think I bought this, and I think I also had a greatest hits that I had like Loving Every Minute of It, I don't know, probably something from the first record. I'm trying to think of what else would be on it, but Turn Me Loose, I guess, would be on the first record, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Which one was the Kid Is Hot Tonight? Is that the first
one? First one, yeah.
So that was probably on. Yeah. Okay. So I had those, and I remember listening to this kind of a lot because it was something that I enjoyed that wasn't profane, which was kind of wasn't the Two Life Crew to scare away people at the lunch shift coming in for a chicken salad sandwich.
Or the ladies ordering brontosaurus burgers wouldn't have been offended by it.
Exactly. So this worked for me at the time, but yeah, I like it. I thought it was a cool song. I like the tension in the song that's there, whole time.
Yes.
Yeah, there's an intensity to it.
Yeah. Who wants to vote next?
I'll go next. I'm going to give Tanis and the song a sweet surrender.
Woo. It's sweet surrender. Hell yes.
Yeah, I loved it, actually. I don't think I knew it either. I mean, I may have heard it once before, but I don't recall. Like, Loverboy is a band that I liked a lot of things that I heard, but for whatever reason, it was like I never owned an album, never got too deep into them, but really liked this one. And this is a song that I think would... I liked it in this... I'll just call this my first listen. I really liked it, and I think that with subsequent listens it would only grow on me and I'd appreciate it more. It seems like that kind of song.
Yeah, absolutely, that's the case with me for sure.
All right, Chris.
Oh yeah, Sweet Surrender, absolutely.
It's Sweet Surrender. Hell yeah.
One of my absolute favorite songs, not just by Loverboy but just in general. And it's still in the set to this day.
Oh wow,
listen to this set. Okay, their most recent show, Notorious, Lucky Ones, Queen of the Broken Hearts, Take Me to the Top, It's Your Life, This Could Be the Night, The Kid Is Hot Tonight, Hot Girls in Love, Turn Me Loose, Working for the Weekend, Jump, Loving Every Minute of It. It's a fucking power set, if ever there was one.
That's what people want. They just want
nonstop hits.
Yeah, they want hit after hit,
and that's what you get. All of it. This Could Be the Night is the ballad I was thinking of from Loving Every Minute of It. You know, which shows off his talents as a vocalist, also. But outstanding stuff. The Loverboy detractors in the chat and elsewhere, just admit it. You don't have the balls to like Loverboy. You don't have the fucking libido to appreciate Loverboy. If you're a male, explore testosterone treatments. You need it.
Call Frank Thomas.
Yeah. Do something. But lashing out at Loverboy because your nuts are the size of raisins is not Loverboy's fault. You can get that fixed. It's 2026. There are chemicals, medications you could take to deal with that. So,
pure speculation here, and maybe we talked about this on a previous episode when we talked about Loverboy, but why do you think, when you go down that set list, why do you think that live Loverboy is not booked like Journey or someone like that? Because I mean, if you go hit for hit,
well, yeah, I mean, but some bands like Tesla is another band, you go see them, every song, you know, every song in the set, every song was a huge banger on FM radio, but they're not going to headline an arena. They got to jump on it to play the big sheds. They got to be in a package tour. Mm-hmm. And then solo, they're playing the same venues as Loverboy. They're the Arcata out west, casinos and stuff. It's just, you know, for whatever reason, bands, some bands, even hugely high-quality catalogs just don't latch on to the public consciousness where they're, like, on the level of a Bon Jovi or something like that.
Yeah,
Yeah, but I think we talked about this with Jericho when Eddie Money passed away. I want to say is where this concept came up, that there are bands that are, they have that renowned status, and there are bands that are, you know, not quite on that level. But if you said, okay, you get to make like a best of CD with like 9-10 songs and you put them up against each other.
Yeah.
Loverboy is one of those bands where it would be hard for even the most prestigious of rock pop acts to, you know, it wouldn't just be a trouncing, you know, Loverboy.
No, Loverboy's,
yeah.
Wouldn't even approach a trounce.
No, but that's what I'm saying is you could take one of these bands that are playing enormous shows still.
And go song for song
and just put their best up against Loverboy's best. And it, you know, that kind of, the whole public whatever status, that kind of goes out the window when you go song for song.
Exactly right. But you know, maybe they weren't dating supermodels and in the gossip magazines and that people weren't paying attention to them outside of the realms of the band. There wasn't a bunch of, you know, Motley Crue-esque drug-induced drama going on that just added to the mystique of the band that could factor into it. There's a million reasons why bands either are hugely popular or never hit the big time, although, you know, Loverboy was pretty big time for a while.
Sure.
But in terms of what Andy's talking about, being able to fill the big rooms as a legacy act, headlining, they're just that's not what they are.
Yeah. Tony Griggs said the look of a band really mattered a lot back in the 80s. Sure. But they kind of had a good look then, right? It's just maybe now they don't have, you know, without taking cheap shots, now they don't have as much of like, you know, like some of these guys have aged gracefully.
Sure.
Not all of them, but, you know, some guys have, and they kind of still have a cool look. Maybe Loverboy doesn't. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
Well, you know, back, whatever. I mean, it's hard. What are we talking about? What have we been talking about for weeks now? Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Look like your fucking math teacher. And he was the biggest pop star of the decade.
Yeah,
so there's no rhyme or reason to it.
He didn't even dress cool either.
No. Like, far like, from it.
He looked... naturally looked that way and didn't do anything about it.
Right. And didn't care. Why should he do anything about it? He was the biggest pop star on the planet.
Yeah, it worked. So, yeah, that
was
goes.
Him, Madonna, Michael Jackson. You think he's going to take criticism about his wardrobe when he's on that level?
No, he's fine.
Yeah.
So,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And why not? Why? There's no rhyme or reason to it, is the moral of the story. It just, you know, hugely popular and quality catalogs, and they just didn't ascend to the upper realms of stardom.
All right, what do you think about this analogy here? Where'd it go? Bobby Root says, Chris is to Loverboy as Eddie Trunk is to UFO.
I don't even know what the fucking word is I'm looking for.
You're not going to recoil at that comparison?
Yeah, I'm not. I won't reject that outright. That works for me. I'm fine with it.
There you go. All right. Well, look where we are, guys. Look where we found ourselves.
All right, Hammond! I got a question for you.
Paul Stanley wants to know, if Take Me to the Top is a rock and roll boner classic, as voted by the three rock and roll boners in the room today, is this what Kiss should have been doing instead of Music from the Elder?
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Yes,
that was
the
easy.
Answer.
Open this, and shut case.
This kind of music is more, I would say, a logical successor to where they were going with Unmasked than the Elder was.
Yeah.
Not saying that they would have sustained it with this style of music, but should they have done this instead of the Elder? Yes. The Elder stinks. And a lot of people are just refuse. I've said it before. I don't have to rehash it all, but there's a perverse pleasure that people get out of saying they like the Elder.
Perverse.
Yeah, it's you know, it's being a contrarian, and I get that. I consciously and even subconsciously I've sort of gravitated toward being that in my life. Trust me, it's not the way to go. Being going along with the masses makes things a lot easier for people, and you know, being a contrarian and having hot takes about everything, it's a tougher way to go. But there's no legitimate defense for the Elder. It's just not.
It's a good quote.
There you go.
Am I wrong?
No,
I mean,
I agree with you 100%.
I agree.
Look, they tried it. You can respect them for trying it, okay? But also the motivation for it was wrong. They were trying to warm up to the critics. They thought this was what the critics want to hear, and they just dug them even deeper into that crevice.
Now, I don't have my glasses on, but I see Bobby's listing three good songs off The Elder. You might as well say Stink, Stank, Stunk.
I don't want to read any of these.
No.
I'm skipping all these comments. You guys are sick.
Well, yeah. This is also the same guy who's saying that Take Me to the Top should get a flaccid, shriveled, useless no boner.
A useless
no useless.
Boner. He's talking about his own boner, and that is precisely why he can't enjoy Loverboy. He's just he's physically incapable of it because the chemicals makeup of his body is all off. Hey, go fix that, man. Use that medical insurance you're getting at the grocery store.
You can do it online nowadays.
Exactly.
Discreet packaging.
Do something about it. Think about it. Do something about it.
Excuse me. Okay. I'm trying to see if any other things worth...
Bobby is the useless boner of the world.
My goodness.
I don't know what you expect. You come into the chat on my show. Yeah, I get you're paying for it, but you come to the chat on my show and disparage Loverboy, you're getting off easy, actually.
It's true. You're pretty good-natured about this. More than I would expect.
Yeah, I don't have the energy right now. Plus, we like Bobby, obviously.
Yeah.
And we're open to, you know, different opinions and whatnot. But again, you come into the chat on my show and disparage Loverboy, I'm not just going to rubber stamp that bullshit.
You got to bite back.
Exactly. It's all part of the fun.
Yeah. I wanted to mention this. Tony Griggs, I know we're not talking about Kiss, but just because we did for a second, Tony Griggs says they did on the four tracks of Killers. What do you think of that? Because it was what? Down on Your Knees?
I mean, it was that was sort of
like Partners in Crime.
I'm a Legend Tonight and whatever the hell the other, can't remember. But
I mean, those songs were decent. I mean, they were... What was the point of bringing those up? Was he saying that?
We said that maybe this is what Kiss should have gone more of this direction than the Elder.
Yeah,
he said,
well, this is closer than the Elder. Yeah. Elder is closer to a fucking Lulu, if anything.
Yeah.
It's just, you can respect him for doing it, for giving it a shot, but it was, look, by any reasonable measure, an outright failure.
Yeah.
So.
All right. My vote is in.
Yeah, mine's in.
Mine's in as well.
All right. Let's go in the same order. Oops, I don't want that. Let's go in the same order. Andy, Nick, Chris. I know that doesn't really make sense, but let's do it anyway. Okay. Rock.
Roll.
Absolute boner.
And he got it!
Absolute boner.
Rockin' the absolutely deserved.
A useful boner.
Yes, extremely useful.
With purpose.
Utilitarian, if you will.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed it.
Very much enjoyed it.
I mean,
it's,
loved it.
Yes, and especially if you consider the, you know, it's we were talking about this earlier. The albums, it's the art of listening to an album front to back and considering everything and the track order and all that stuff is largely out the window, but. You consider this album, you listen to it front to back, you get through 9 incredible pop rock bangers, and then close it out with this. That's the proverbial chef's kiss, mm-hmm. right there.
Yeah, it was great.
Yes. And if you disagree with it... Oh,
no, I was going to say, it doesn't hurt that it's from a classic album as well.
Sure.
A 5-star album, if ever there was one. It's not a bad cut on it. Not even. I mean, there's even a emotional. Paul Dean takes the lead vocal, almost like, you know, a Stones album where they give Keith a lead vocal on a song or two. They even made that move. Gotta love it, man.
All right. Well, if you disagree with Chris and your name is Bobby. We
first of all seek help, and now.
Oh, sorry.
And seek help first, and then accept.
That's just the fucking way it is. Okay,
sorry, there you go. Bad timing, but yes.
Seek medical attention, and there you go.
There you go. All right. Well, Nick, what are you doing over there?
Yeah. What's going on?
Next segment.
Nick's always preparing.
Don't mind me.
Jesus.
Nick's always up to something.
Don't mind me.
He's got a. Bag of something.
Don't mind me.
He's always got bags.
Full of bags.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, yeah. Is that right, Chris? Oh, Tony Griggs laid out a request for you, Chris. He says, Chris L., put together a strong Loverboy playlist for me for my weekend drive.
Just... put Get Lucky on track 1, listen to the whole thing,
or go down that set list that you read.
Yeah, look up their most recent set list. Maybe I will put that together for Tony. Yeah. I'll listen to it too. Fuck yeah,
why not?
Absolutely,
that's cool. Nick, are you ready over there?
Yeah, what is this? A lap steel you got over here?
Are you ready, Nick?
Almost. Are we taking a commercial?
Yeah, we're going to take a commercial.
Okay.
All right.
I'm just preparing for...
You prepare yourself.
What's coming up next?
These commercials aren't as long as they seem, so that's why I'm making sure you're ready. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with some seasonal jokes.
Yeah, let's make sure I got this... isn't the thing working?
Do it, Nick. Do it.
Give me a moment.
What'd you break?
Is the cable not working now?
Oh, no. Did you, Nick brought electronics.
I did.
Hold on.
The amp isn't working. I need a moment.
Look at this guy.
Okay, that should do it.
Yeah, it helps if you turn it on.
That doesn't sound
stupid on. Thing isn't working. What a...
I love when things don't work.
Yeah.
That's actually one of my favorite
things. The moment it's supposed to.
Yes, it's the best because we've talked about it so many times. Items with no moving parts, you put them in your car, drive it somewhere.
Exactly.
It worked 100 times. You plug it in somewhere else, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
There it goes. I hear it.
All right. For the jokes segment, here goes nothing.
The jokes come out at night.
Yes. What was going on over there?
No, I didn't realize that having it in the gig bag and taking it out would knock it out of tune like it did, but
it can happen.
It's always something.
Yeah.
All right, so you want to explain the premise and what...
Sure.
What drove just happened? You to bring that? Yeah, what just happened?
What just happened was two absolute greats of, I'll just say,
entertainment.
Americana.
That too.
Were born on the day this episode comes out, which is May the 18th. The first, what I was trying to play a song of before realizing it was a bit out of tune, was a George Strait song.
Was that All My Exes?
All My Exes Live in Texas.
Live in Texas.
Perhaps the all-time greatest country western artist.
He's up there, absolutely.
And
see what the people in the chat have to say.
They probably died.
Start shitting on George Strait. Now
that I won't stand for. So
hey, man, they've shown that they have no limits when it comes to defecating on musical icons.
Yeah. So, and then we're hearing "I Must Kill the Queen."
Yeah.
Who Reggie Jackson's line, yes. Birthday, also May 18th. He's a few years older than Mr. Strait, but two absolute legends. Two absolute greats. Country music and baseball.
Yeah.
America. Right there.
Yes. Which, with Memorial Day coming up, 4th of July coming up, we're getting started, getting into that mindset early. Why not? Let's bring the summer mindset in early. So, Andy, in case you were wondering, or anybody else out there, the theme is George Strait and or Reggie Jackson jokes.
And or.
And I say that because, let me do a little intro of my group. I've got three jokes here. One of them is a George-Reggie combo joke.
I can't imagine.
The other two are straight specific. But all three, the punchlines are based on George Strait song titles. So I just want to lay that out there before we get started. Nick?
I've got just one of each. I've got a Reggie joke and a George joke.
All right, so you want, so I've got three, you've got two. You want to do an alternating fashion and I start?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to start with my combo joke. Andy, ready?
I'm ready.
Nick?
Sure.
How does George Strait prevent someone from stealing the Reggie Jackson game-worn Rawlings he won at a sports memorabilia auction?
A Rawlings. Got specific.
How does George Strait prevent someone from stealing the Reggie Jackson game-worn Rawlings he won at a sports memorabilia auction?
I give up.
Yeah.
By carrying his glove with him.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever thought possible.
Our little punchline.
The George Strait song is Carrying Your Love With Me.
Nice.
That's, you know, good. In light of this, because we were planning to do this joke segment, I looked it up. You know how Elvis has his number ones album, Michael Jackson has his number ones, Beatles have their number ones album.
Yeah.
George Strait has one called 50 Number Ones.
Oh my god, 50?
Yeah, and that's probably like part, volume one.
Wow. Yeah, giant of entertainment.
Absolute legend. Alright, I'm gonna... I think I'll go with my Reggie joke first.
Alright.
Why does James Bond never want to hang out with Reggie Jackson?
Why not?
Why does James Bond never want to hang out with Reggie Jackson?
I don't know.
Because Reggie is the straw that stirs the drink.
Oh, yeah.
Bullshit!
One of his famous quotes, right?
Yeah.
By all accounts, Reggie Jackson was kind of a prickly guy, right? prickly fella.
Yeah, not an affable man.
Yeah.
It's so interesting when
jovial individual.
But when you see an interview with him, he's so soft-spoken and just kind of gently matter-of-fact. But then you go
he's
and
become
look
at, that.
But
in
when
his
when
old
he
age.
Played though, he was consciously he was consciously playing around with the media.
Oh, yeah.
No, which, of course, you're going to get a reputation. You could be the nicest guy in the world, but if you're messing with the writers, you're going to get the reputation of just being insufferable.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, as baseball writers are wont to do, they hold grudges, but Reggie's stats and performances could not be ignored. You're not shunning him from the Hall of Fame or any of that crap that they pull. Losers.
All right. What's next?
All right. My turn?
Yeah.
All right. My last two are George Strait-centric, so here we go. What does George Strait call a tit that has a tendency to make dumb, impulsive decisions?
Wow.
A bird? Know. Type of bird? Is that what we're talking about?
Not a bird.
Okay.
Not a bird.
Makes dumb, impulsive decisions.
What does George Strait call a tit that has a tendency to make dumb, impulsive decisions?
I mean, I have an answer, but I'm sure it's not the right one.
I don't know.
A fool-hearted mammary.
Well, what do you got to say for yourself, Crumb? Huh?
Song title, of course, Fool-Hearted Memory.
All right, this one has... I tried trimming the setup to this. It didn't really work, so stay with me,
sometimes
everybody.
you gotta have an elaborate setup. I worked on a couple of these, like... to do that exactly that. Sometimes it's not possible.
Okay. When asked to stay out late with his friends, what excuse did the guy who plays the Texas Roadhouse mascot give in light of the fact that he had to be at work early the next day?
Jeez.
So it's the guy who's the tech... He plays the Texas Roadhouse mascot. His friends want him to stay out late. He's got to be at work early the next day. What is his excuse?
Texas Roadhouse mascot?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Andy?
I don't know.
His excuse was, I've got to be armadillo by morning.
Dick.
Very good.
What was the song?
Amarillo by morning.
Oh, okay. All right.
Armadillo. Very nice.
Okay. This last one might be my favorite joke that I've come up with to date in this segment. We've been doing this since October, right, Nick? We started out in Halloween.
Is that right? It was Halloween jokes?
Yes, it was Halloween.
Because it was the jokes come out at night. Right, yeah, spooks come out at night.
So in that time, which is what, 8 months? This is possibly my favorite joke of all of them. You guys ready?
Yes.
This is the one I told you, Nick. It made me laugh out loud at myself 3 or 4 times.
That's the best kind.
Oh, yeah. No, this is a good one. I hope... Well, you never know. They'll probably get trashed in the chat, but here we go. What is George Strait's favorite part about vacationing south of the border?
I don't know.
What is George Strait's favorite part about vacationing south of the border? Andy?
I don't know.
The cheap whores of old Mexico.
How dare him? How dare him?
And what is the...
The song is The Seashores of Old Mexico.
There you go. All right, Nick, do you have one more? Or?
No, that's all.
Nick's done.
I just had my two.
All right. Well, excellent work. Seems to have gone over very well.
Of course it did.
Yes. Thank you, everybody, for joining us on Patreon live here on Thursday. And anytime you're listening to the show, whether that be the Monday it comes out or 10 years in the future, whenever the hell it is, thank you for listening. We're happy to have you. If you want to join us on Patreon, again, patreon.com/potofthunder. You're going to love it. And go out with this classic here. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Bye-bye.
And it's yours. Show us your kryptonite. We're at the live stream of the show. What we want for a Patreon dime. It's about time to show your whole asshole. Make with the
Now that guitar is in tune.
Get to it.